World History presents Biggest Blunders of World War II, narrated by Sam Devereaux. Introduction. Fatal Blunders Determine War. In August 1940, Berlin was hit by British bombers. Hitler immediately ordered a series of gigantic air defences be built, each one more expensive than the city's entire Olympic facilities. But they're ineffective, and resources are wasted. The Führer also has an opportunity to force the British out of North Africa and gain control of the Middle East's valuable oil. But he rejects his general's advice, just as he unnecessarily draws the United States into the war in Europe. Had Hitler kept a cool head, the war could have gone in a different direction. But the Führer was not alone in making mistakes. British and French politicians gave Hitler concessions in the 1930s and failed to send troops to Germany immediately after war was declared. The Western powers have themselves to thank for the dictator setting Europe on fire before finally going on the offensive in spring 1940. This issue reveals the worst errors of the war. Enjoy. Chapter 1. Allies give Hitler a long leash. When Britain and France allow Nazi Germany to occupy parts of Czechoslovakia in 1938, Western powers expect Hitler to be satisfied. But the Anglo-French concession does not diminish the Führer's cravings for conquest. Sporting a long, dark coat, white shirt with stiff, starched collar and tie, the British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain disembarked from his plane at Heston Airport near London. Outside the aircraft, a jubilant crowd were waiting to welcome him home after his conference with Adolf Hitler. During the meeting, in Germany, the Prime Minister signed the so-called Munich Agreement, which allowed Nazi Germany to annex the Sudetenland in Czechoslovakia. Chamberlain claimed he'd created the conditions for a lasting peace in Europe. Moreover, the British leader and Hitler had signed an agreement that Chamberlain could proudly show to the people. The document promised that the Prime Minister and the German Führer would resolve any future disputes between the two countries peacefully. The crowd cheered as he waved the piece of paper and waved their small Union Jacks that they brought with them to pay tribute to the politician. Later that day, Chamberlain elaborated on the conclusions. Outside his official residence at 10 Downing Street, the politician stated that Europe's problems and conflicts would soon be a thing of the past. "I believe it is peace for our time," said the Prime Minister. "Go home and get a nice quiet sleep," he added confidently. The loser in the game was Czechoslovakia, who lost Sudetenland. But with Hitler satisfied, Chamberlain and his French colleague Edouard Daladier hoped to put an end to any additional land claims from the German dictator. The policy of leniency was known as appeasement. Chamberlain's belief in a peaceful future would, however, soon be proved wrong. Just a few months later, Hitler broke the agreement and annexed the western part of Czechoslovakia. 6 months later, Hitler went a step further and invaded Poland. The invasion triggered World War II and proved conclusively that the policy of appeasement had failed. Führer broke agreements. Hitler's plan to start a war and expand Nazi Germany territory should not have come as a surprise to Chamberlain, as the Führer was known for breaking international agreements. Post-war peace conditions clearly stated Germany's limitations. The country could not build an air force and could only have a minimum of soldiers and warships. However, since taking power in 1933, Hitler had rearmed as fast as German industry would allow. Contrary to international agreements, he built a huge army, a powerful fleet, and a modern air force. Rearmament was no secret either. During the so-called National Party Day in Nuremberg in 1935, Hitler paraded...